from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Guardian Protection. And Neil Walker, he joins us now, is brought to you by Bet365. Here's what Derek Shelton had to say about Colin Holderman facing Jock Peterson.
I mean, Beach had thrown 2 days in a row. I mean, we ended up having to go to him. I mean, he had a 100-mile-an-hour fastball away. Holdy's got to be better. I mean, he's got to make a pitch. He's pitched in that spot for us all year, and it didn't work.
Shelton very critical of Colin Holderman after the game. Also fairly critical of Paul Skeens.
Yeah, he was erratic. He was kind of all over the place. I mean, it's for the first time we've really seen him scatter the ball a little bit.
Neil, have you ever heard Shelty quite like that? It seems to me, at least, like he was throwing the guys under the bus a little bit there.
Yeah, we very rarely hear Shelty get critical in any capacity with the players on the roster, especially. But yeah, I think he sensed a little frustration in his comments, and I think the sense of urgency, especially after just playing the Arizona Diamondbacks last week. I think, he kind of felt like that was a bad series for his team in general, those first two games of that series. And I think he sensed that there was a good opportunity for them to win 2 or 3 this last weekend, and it didn't happen. So, kind of interesting, but you're certainly feeling the sense of urgency, I think, on his behalf. And maybe he's kind of speaking the sentiment for the coaching staff and kind of the people up the chain too.
Neil, let's talk about the whole bunt situation with IKF. Obviously, he pops it up on the first pitch. I mean, he just had a double. He had a triple in the game. What's your experiences from bunting, and how difficult is that? This team seems to not be able to do that. And was that the right call in that situation, knowing that you have a guy that was somewhat hot throughout the day of hitting?
Yeah, I mean, as it played out, it probably was a better decision to not bunt IKF, but especially the way he had swung the bat during the game. But I think hindsight's always 20/20. I think if the Pirates were, if IKF were to do nothing there, or strike out, Brian Reynolds weren't to get a base hit, I think people would be kind of calling from the rafters, asking why we didn't at least attempt. But today, in today's day and age, it's a lot more difficult to bunt than it's ever been, especially the higher leverage late inning guys that are throwing hard. It doesn't make for any reasonable excuse why guys shouldn't be able, at least on a fairly consistent basis, get bunts down when they want to. I do know it is more difficult. There's more guys throwing curveballs and four-seam fastballs. It's always a little harder to bunt than two-seam sinkers and sliders. So that not as many guys throw today as they do the four-seam curveball combination. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was the right play just in general, but the way obviously it turned out when you ending up having O'Neill Cruz come in and be lined up against the left-hander in a huge spot, first and third and one out, that was not ideal. But, you know, it's just tough. I think I wish the Pirates weren't really in that situation to begin with. I mean, Marte tortured them all series.
Ugh.
Jock Peterson torched them all series. And it kind of culminated in that ninth inning last night or yesterday.
Neil Walker with us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. I want to make it clear, it's not just a Pirates problem. The ability to bunt has really suffered recently around Major League Baseball, but you're there all the time, Neil, and you get there early, you're prepping, you're getting your work in, but you're watching batting practice. How often are the Pirates practicing the bunt? And if they are going to continue to implement it as frequently as they have as a strategy, do you think they should work on it more?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing them. You're seeing them do have bunt practice on the regular with especially the guys that you would expect to see bunting in certain situations. Yeah, you're usually seeing it before home team batting practice. You probably wouldn't do it on the road, except maybe in the cage if you wanted to get a few down before the game. Or obviously, when your BP sessions start, you're usually getting one or two or three down to start your round. So it is being worked on. The hard thing is just, you know, you could dial up a pitching machine to 100 miles an hour and do bunt attempts, and it's just going to be different with the flow of the game and the speed of the game. And truth be told, if you hadn't done it much coming up through the minor leagues, it is very difficult to learn or to get better at if you're not doing it in the game. And if you don't have much of a foundation for it, you're going to have a tougher time getting it done in a huge spot at the major league level with infielders crashing in at you.
Neil, we all know how important this series is coming up against the Padres starting tomorrow. If you're back in your playing days and you knew that you had to win these games in order to stay alive, and say that you do lose this series, say it doesn't go the way that you plan, could that be a make or break mentally for the players? Like, knowing how important this is and not coming through and not winning, could that be the end all be all for the rest of the season and in the mindset of the rest of the season if you do lose the series?
Well, yeah, I mean, in general, you have to just continue to win series. But then it gets to the point, like it is probably right now, that you're most likely going to need, if you're floating at the bottom of the wild card or just outside of the wild card, you're probably going to need to rip off 8 of 10, 9 of 11, something along those lines to really make a charge. Because, the teams that have bolstered their rosters or their at the top in the wild card standings or the top of the division, it's very rare they're going to get swept. So they're going to be winning 2 of 3, or you know, at times losing 2 of 3. But make no mistake, the players on the roster right now, they understand that these next 9 games, 6 between the Padres and 3 between the Dodgers on the road, are going to, for the most part, make or break their season. If they go 4-5, it's probably not going to kill them as far as their standings at the toward the bottom of that wild card scenario. But if they find a way to go 6-3, they might be able to move up a spot or leapfrog somebody. So, but as players, you're very much tuned to your everyday and your routine and focusing on how you can be the best that night and as a team. So, hopefully, guys aren't getting necessarily too far out of their realm with such a big situation coming up. So we'll see. We'll see how they respond, especially after what I considered another really tough loss yesterday and not able to win 2 of 3 in that series. And, now you have an opportunity to take care of business, but the Padres are coming in hot. There's no doubt about that.
Neil, in each of the Pirates' last 3 losses, the pitcher of record is Colin Holderman. His last 4 appearances, 3 innings, 3 1/3 innings, don't want to shortchange him, 7 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 homers. His last 15 appearances, 14 1/3 innings, 12 earned runs, 9 walks, and 5 home runs. What are you seeing? He was so dynamite early on in the year, and the wheels have totally fallen off here.
Yeah, I think the walks, obviously, are the biggest issue, because late in the game, man, offensive units, especially the good ones like the Diamondbacks, they hammer mistakes. And if you're a guy coming in later in games, a 7th, 8th, 9th inning guy, and you're not getting ahead, you're not 0-1, you're not 1-2, you're not 2-2, you're going to have a very difficult time. And the numbers even say that, you know, 0-1 and 1-0, especially late in the game, as good as these reliever stuff is, it just things can spiral out of control really quickly for these relievers. And then if they're not throwing strikes or they don't feel like the ball's coming out of their hand the way they want to, it's either big misses or misses in the heart of the plate. And, you know, that at-bat with Peterson yesterday was just a huge blow. And like I said, these guys have so little opportunities, even on teams that are winning a lot or scoring a lot of runs, that when things go a little sideways, we saw it with Bednar early in the year. We saw Chapman get a little off early in the year too. You wish it wasn't at this time of year with Holderman. You wish that if he was going to have a bad stretch, it was early in the year. So you really had that three-headed monster. But it's so crazy. That's just how baseball works, man. I mean, we get two guys that we essentially stuff in the middle of our order, and even though it's early, they've performed fairly well, or at least looked like they're going to be giving more consistent at bats than what we had before acquiring De La Cruz and IKF.
Yeah.
But yeah, and now you're seeing the bullpen kind of blunder a little bit, which is crazy. I think he'll bounce back, but there's no doubt he's going through it, and at probably the most critical and worst time of the year for things to go sideways for especially that part of our roster, that late inning bullpen guys.
Last thing here for Neil Walker. Neil, you played six games here in the last week or so against Arizona, and only one of those games was decided by more than two runs, and it was when the Pirates lost to Arizona in game two of the series, the first one, 9-5. Is it as simple as saying that Arizona, a team that went to the World Series last year, knows how to get it done in close ball games, and the Pirates are still learning?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment, Adam. I think, you know, when I watch this Arizona team, I see a team that's, especially if they don't know somebody like Skeens yesterday, they're feeling them out. They're making them throw strikes. They know what they're good at as an offensive group. They know the challenges they're going to face on a nightly basis. And now you mix in a late postseason run to the World Series with essentially the same roster. That playing in one – I can't remember which year it was, 13, 14, 15. We played in a ton of one-inning, one-run games, and we had a very good back end of the bullpen. But it did ease your mind a little bit as an offensive unit that, you know, you didn't necessarily have to push that second or third run across. Of course, you always wanted to try to, but you felt confident in those one-run games, and not just from the offensive side, but those late-inning bullpen guys, the Tony Watsons of the world, the Mark Melansons, when, you know, those guys in their prime. And I see a lot of that with teams like the Diamondbacks. And I haven't watched a lot of Padres baseball, but I'll be interested to see. I know they really, really hit, so they're built kind of somewhat similar to the Diamondbacks. So they're going to have to, Pirates are going to have to be good again. So we'll see what they have, but make no mistake, tonight is a very important bounce back night for the Pirates.
Thank you very much, Neil. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
Neil Walker, hell of a nice man, good analysis, and yes, we will react to some of that analysis coming up next. Dan Zangrilli, very vocal in his criticism of manager Derek Shelton. Yesterday on the postgame show, we'll talk to him coming up at the bottom of the hour. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'd love you to text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For you. So here's a good test to know whether or not you know about gymnastics. Simone Biles out there doing the floor routine, and she just finished up. And I came away from it thinking, probably not her best. Probably not the best we've ever seen from Simone Biles. But everyone else on Twitter is raving about her performance. It's because they're all probably watching with volume, and I am not.
Yes.
I'm interested to see what her score is. Because I think we fancy ourselves experts in all these sports when the Olympics roll around and Tom Brady's there, my God.
Look, he's excited.
A goat watching the goat. He is so excited, Doran. He said, wow.
Yes.
We fancy ourselves these experts, but we've got experts giving us the commentary, so it becomes easy. Well, she could have tucked it this way, or there's a 10-point deduction for that. I want to see what she finishes up here with.
Probably pretty high.
She flipped like 12 feet in the air and spun, and then time and space stopped around her, and she winked at Brady, and then she landed. So she's probably going to have a decent score. We had Neil Walker on with us in the last segment. Dan Zangrilli is going to join us coming up in about 12 minutes here, who roasted Derek Shelton on last night's postgame show. So we'll see if he continues to do that, or if taking some time away from things, maybe he could see the method in some of Derek Shelton's madness. But I asked Neil, like, and you brought this up, are the Pirates just not ready for the prime time? Arizona went to the World Series last year. All these close games they've won against the Pirates, do they simply just need, they know how to get it done, whereas the Pirates don't? I think there's definitely a lot of that in there. And she's in second place. Oh, no, she didn't get first, Doran, Simone Biles. I knew she was off.
Wow.
My gymnastics analysis was correct.
Wow. You knew she would lose by... with 0.3 points?
0.3, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, my God. Right there. So now Rebecca Andrade from Brazil looks like she's going to get the gold medal here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many participators there are left, but I knew it. I knew she was 0.33 off.
Yeah, you, right.
Yeah, I could tell. I mean, I think it could be with the Buccos that they don't know yet how to finish the job. But maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's just Colin Holderman sucks right now, and he's been your losing pitcher the last three times out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could just be that this bullpen that you counted on and was really good in July, when you've got a leaky portion the way that they do with Holderman, you're just not going to be able to finish games.
Yeah, but yeah, the good teams and the teams that are legit, they do finish games. And, I mean, I know the Pirates fought, and they fought against the Diamondbacks twice, but you got to come out on the winning end. You got to figure out a way to get one more run.
Like, well, maybe the manager then is the one who's not ready for prime time. I mean, that's got to be different, right? Where, what is this, year five for Derek Shelton, and they were in contention for zero of the previous 4 years. And now you have to manage a game on August 4th like it's a playoff game, And I feel like yesterday he still kind of managed it like it's August 4th last year and you're going nowhere fast.
But he's done it before, like in the last couple weeks.
I know. I know, but with every game, it's just more and more pressure. And you needed to take at least 2 out of 3 from Arizona, and you had Skeens on the mound. And so he probably goes into that game, A, knowing it's must win, and B, feeling pretty good about it. Hey, he's got to be feeling good about it. We need to win. We've got Skeens on the mound. Now we're out to a 4-0 start, and we've got Skeens on the mound. We should be able to win this game. It's really him who's coming up small, or at least came up small yesterday. And we bring it up over and over. Not going with Beeks against Jock Peterson to me is just, I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. I ran into Bechtold in the hallway, and he's bitching and moaning and complaining about it. You've got your left-handed specialist warming up, and you're going now against statistics and the eye test when you say, let's keep Holderman in there. Like, I saw some people, well, it's sabermetric manager Derek Shelton. The sabermetrics, the numbers all told you.
Told you to do it.
Yes, to go with Beeks, and so did the eyes. So we can talk to Dan Zangrilli about that a little bit more coming up next. But there's a Steelers thing I wanted to throw past you. I've been reading all the Steelers articles, Dorn. This one from our friend Mike DeFabo in The Athletic. And he did a stock up and stock down for Steelers through, 10 practices now at training camp. And he said, stock up, George Pickens as a red zone threat. Pickens has the makings of a dynamic red zone receiver thanks to his 6'3 frame and Madden-like catch radius. However, last season he caught just 3 passes for 16 yards in the red zone with no touchdowns. I knew they didn't target him in the red zone. I didn't know it was like that. And so we've talked about scheme a bunch, and you've broken it down better than anybody, talking about what Arthur Smith can bring. Sometimes isn't the easiest thing just to throw the ball to your best players in key situations?
Yeah.
I feel like that was a little bit missing last year.
Yeah, and one-on-one matchups. I mean, you can't tell me that he didn't get a one-on-one matchup in the red zone.
Right.
Right.
Like, you're not lining up down there in the red zone every single game, every single snap, and he's never getting a one-on-one.
Right.
And you throw the ball to him 3 times? Like, we could talk about scheme, and we could talk about Matt Canada and how it was a very rudimentary offense, but when you need a play to be made, it doesn't take a genius to figure out, do I want to throw it to him, or do I want to throw it to, like, Calvin Austin III?
Right.
So at least they're throwing him the ball in 7 shots.
In different ways, too.
Yes.
Like that, and that's the telling part of all of this. Like, you can create those matchups by having a competent offensive coordinator that can get you into those matchups. And that's the way. Like, that's what he has been doing in practice. It's the motioning down. It's the bunch sets. It's the confusion for the defense of where George is going to end up. And if you have to kind of, you know, put it on one guy and another guy takes another guy and then you're confused and all of a sudden you're flat-footed and then George touchdown. Like, that's how you manufacture red zone targets for George Pickens that he can absolutely win. And that's the difference between coordinators. And I don't think that Matt Canada knew how to do that. And then if he doesn't know how to do that, then how it's hard for the offense to even think to do that because it's not even in probably the system.
Right.
So you're just kind of like, all right, well, let's just run the play.
Well, we've talked so much about the understanding of why.
Yes.
And that they had no understanding of why to do particular things last year. One more thing from Mike DeFabo here in The Athletic. Another stock up. Pat Freiermuth is a bounce back candidate. And here's the nugget that stood out to me, Doran. So limited exposure to Russell Wilson, obviously, because of the calf injury. He says, though, when they have worked together, the chemistry between those two seems to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Which is necessary when your second wide receiver is Van Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Pay that man. He'll get paid before the game on Friday, I bet.
You think?
I do. His agent was there last week. By all accounts, seems to be chipper. So I think it's going to get done.
I like that prediction. Yeah.
Thank you.
I like that. Before Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
And if not, then we'll
specific
start.
Specific day?
Yeah, sure. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. That tonight. Give us something to talk about for tomorrow.
That'd be good.
With the Pirates being off.
That'd be great.
All right, coming up next, Dan Zangrilli. He hosted the postgame show after last night's debacle. He crushed Derek Shelton. After taking some deep breaths, after relaxing, perhaps a hot shower, does Dan still blame yesterday's loss on Derek Shelton? Oh, Dan Zangrilli is with us now, and he showered off after the postgame show, but he's still hot. He's still fired up. And he's brought to us by the injury law lawyers of LGKG, LGKG Western PA injury lawyers for over 90 years, LGKG.com. We have talked about not going to Beeks against Jock Peterson. We've talked about the whole bunting situation. We've talked about Woodford going in the ninth inning and giving up a home run to Marte. But you just off the air brought up another piece of managerial malpractice going all the way back to the second inning, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, and I think Shelton was asked about it, and he acknowledged that I think it's something that was considered, and maybe if he had the benefit of hindsight and he could go back in time, he would do it. And that's moving Brian Reynolds from first base in the second inning. They had a first and third situation. They're having an incredible inning against Ryan Nelson. Guys have not scored runs against him over his last five starts. So you have a really good opportunity here to break this game wide open. Again, it's a 4-0 game. Reynolds has just walked. IKF is a third base. So you got a just typical old first and third situation with one out. Well, and it was crossing my mind to think, hey, do you got to stay out of a double play here? Yes. And then I see Eugenio Suarez, the third baseman. He's 40 feet off the line. So the Diamondbacks are giving Isaiah Kiner-Falefa home plate. He can get a walking lead. So there's no way in hell that Arizona is going to throw through to second base. So Reynolds could do three somersaults there and get second base if he wanted to. Because, listen, you're going to go down 5-0 on the road to Paul Skenes. That's something that Arizona was, again, telegraphing that they were not interested in doing. And you provided them an exit strategy by keeping Reynolds still there at first base. Now, on the ball that Cruz hit, which, by the way, spoiler alert, it ended as a 4-6-3 inning ending double play for those that didn't see the game. It did look like Reynolds was in motion to move on that batted ball, but there were plenty of opportunities before that. So, to me, that's the thing, like, gosh, it's second and third. Double play is no longer in order. The infield's probably coming in at that point with O'Neill Cruz up. So those are the little things that, as a manager, you've got to increase your chances of, A, staying out of 4-6-3s. But, again, don't you want the infield in second and third and then a little dribbler, a little bloop, whatever it may be, all of a sudden you're up another two runs? That's a 6-0 game at that point.
And even Colin Holderman could not blow that.
Right. Right. Have you ever seen Shelton as fired up as he was postgame? And do you think that was because of Holderman? Do you think that was because of the situation after Holderman with the umpire? Or do you think that is because he felt that he gave away that game, that he had a bad managing game?
I mean, I think it's probably a combination of everything, and you mix it all up and you get as close to combustible Shelty that we've ever seen, who's otherwise an affable guy. So yeah, I mean, I would imagine he didn't sleep a whole lot last night, and today's going to be a rough day to kind of sit on it and not get to the ballpark and, you know, get into a game activation. He's probably stewing on this, and who knows, maybe he's listening to this. And
hi, Derek.
He would probably love another crack at it, I would think.
The next time they have a situation that calls for a bunt, and reasonable people can agree or disagree with
it. I love that call, by the way.
I know you do. And there's a lot of good baseball people out there that say, yeah, you should lay down the bunt there. Are they going to keep trying to in bunt situations? Because I don't know if you have the info because you're good at getting all that info. I've been trying to look up how many bunts and failed bunts. And it seems anecdotally like they F it up a lot more than they get it down.
Yeah, from an execution standpoint,
yes.
Absolutely. There are certain people that should be able to bunt, and there are certain people that should not have to bunt. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is one of those people. Rowdy Tellez is not one of those people. O'Neill Cruz is not one of those people. It's a basic tenet of the game. The Arizona Diamondbacks did it just fine in the seventh inning with their number nine hitter and slow-footed catcher. They played for one, but they got a lot more in that seventh inning. Did they not?
They did.
So blocking, tackling, eye-dotting, T-crossing, all of that stuff, National League champions of 2023.
They lead the league in bunting, too, sack bunts, I believe.
I think it's worked out just fine. They also have a 70-some-odd-year-old pitching coach. They got the former American League Manager of the Year as their bench coach. So they do a lot of things differently.
Is Shelton not ready for prime time? We've been kicking that around all day.
And that's kind of leading to what he just said. They do things differently.
Right.
And that to me, that's the most noticeable thing yesterday. And in the past two series against the Diamondbacks, like, they just seem like they are ready. and the Pirates are close but not ready.
So I was really starting to get fired up on Derek Shelton, and I think, Doran, you mentioned it last segment. We saw some maybe throw that binder and maybe the guy standing behind you with that binder out the window and do some kind of throwback old school stuff, which I really believe at the end of the day, if you're to peel back all the layers and get down to the root of it, that's who and what Derek Shelton is. That's what I believe. But I think to manage in this era, maybe even in this organization where there's a philosophy set of how we're going to do things, you have to adapt and improvise accordingly. I understand that Derek Shelton has basically carte blanche, and this is his show, and they give him all the freedom in the world. But the question is he ready for prime time? No, I think he could really benefit with a war horse who has years of experience in that dugout with him. Torrey Lovello is a very good manager, but Jeff Banister, who would, by the way, probably give three of his four limbs to wear a Pirates P again, and I'm not saying hire him, but somebody that's been around the block that can be the counterbalance to what is an otherwise new age of thinking. That to me, when you just look at the construct of the coaching staff, that to me, and you can say, well, Donnie Kelly, he's a Jim Leland disciple, and that's probably as old school as it gets. No, I'm talking about somebody that has been in the throes of it, maybe even a former big league manager that's really got his tiger stripes. That to me is like that's a puzzle piece that could be very beneficial.
Dan, two things I'd like to see happen. One, you phantom IL Colin Holderman. And Two, I slide up Mitch Keller and have him pitch on Thursday.
I would do number two. And I didn't hate going to Holderman in the seventh inning because it was 8-9-1 in the batting card. And he's going to be a big part of whatever the Pirates need to accomplish. He was throwing 100 miles an hour and for the most part dotting up the mitt. Sure, he got boned on a few calls. He also did get a big call, Ketel Marte, on that looking strike three. I don't go as far there with Holderman, but Keller, who threw 60 pitches, and they need him on Thursday. And we heard Ben Cherington speak in code saying that, well, maybe this is a day that we could just pitch Mitch on his regular turn, not Thursday, but that would be the following series of Seattle. So, no, they got to move him up to Thursday.
Agree. Dan, this is all very frustrating.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me. And
They're screwed, right? I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. I want to go back. Rewind. Danger zone. Big time danger zone.
Well, I mean, and here's what it boils down to. This series should have been a three-game sweep. Let's start there. And in 14 starts, the Paul Skenes has taken the ball in his major league career, who may win the Cy Young. They've somehow found a way to lose five times.
What should their record be?
13-1, at least, I think. I mean, you're losing 35% of the time when Paul Skenes pitches, just in a vacuum without looking at anything or getting into nuance or splitting hairs, that is just wholly unacceptable.
Thank you, Dan.
Yep. Thank you.
I don't feel any better about the Pirates than I did
whenever I woke up.
Come on,
you always blame it on me.
Did
it's
you think
you.
That you were going to? Yes, it is. You knew that he was going to come in here and tear it down. Well, rightfully so.
That's true. I did know that.
Yeah.
You even teased it to
Why
the
not Beeks, right. though? Why not Beeks to Jock Peterson? Jock Peterson, 4-for-20 against lefties. Colin Holderman.
How about Chapman? How about Chapman?
Or that, fine.
How about Chapman?
Just how about not Holderman there?
I mean,
you got two outs, okay.
That is one of the mind blowers. That's almost as mind blowing as Yank and Jared Jones after 59 pitches in New York.
Because, you know, they're using puck, they use their lefty guy. Are we allowed to use ours?
I said, we need to require a third left hander now.
They use puck. Why can't we use Beeks? Very frustrating.
Puck and Beeks.
Thank you, Dan. Now I do feel better. We want you to come back with us after this break. Not you, Dan. You could. But heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your free heart your heart screening at UPMC today. It's just a heart screening. Yeah, schedule that UPMC today. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Can the Bucks survive August? Because I look ahead, and you got the Nats and the Marlins to open up with against in September. And it's been a while since they played crap teams.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get through August first.
Yes.
One last thing is Dan was talking about the decision to bunt for IKF. And I said, even if he bunts, they're going to pitch around Brian Reynolds. I am looking at it now, the pitch by pitch here. They did pitch around Brian Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give him anything in the middle of the plate. It was all nibbling. And the one mistake pitch was the final hit of the at-bat, which was the single, and it was pretty much middle-middle. It might have played out exactly that way. It might have. And one hit would have tied the game. I still don't bunt there, but I still don't bunt there. Mm-hmm. Social media's biggest losers brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Does the name Femke Bol mean anything to you, Dorn?
No.
She won for her country the 4x400 medley track and field event. She's the Australian girl who was, they were like in fourth place, and she, bang, burst ahead to win the whole thing. And she was a hero for like 2 seconds, and then she talked.
When you're putting your mind to it, you know exactly what to do indoors. How was that for you?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was such a strong race. We were all running so fast, multiple running in the 50, so I knew I had to go out fast. I had Lika in front of me, so I wanted to be in front, and I could hear how big she was behind me, so I was like, okay, this is good, now we keep going, and this crowd is so amazing.
It's so amazing!
God bless her. She's a cult hero now. She got gold for her country, and she sounds like if Joe Starkey was inhaling helium.
Yes.
On the reg. All right, no Pirates tonight, but a lot to get into tomorrow. Exciting show planned. That's a lie. We have no idea what we're going to do.
Zero.
Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 91.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.